You're listening to the Fixing the Fix podcast, the show that brings you personal stories about mental health and addiction, along with insight from experts in the field. I am your host, Heather Rhodes. Let's get started on today's episode. Hello, listeners. It's Heather back on Fixing the Fix, and I have a special guest today, Mike Haney. Hey, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
Heather, great to be with you today.
Thank you. Let me share with the guest a little bit more about your background, and then we can get started. Mike helps successful professional men find peace and confidence at home and connect better with their wives, children, family, friends, and community. He has 30 years of experience as a husband, a single parent, a dad, stepdad, and he understands the challenges men face in their family lives. He's walked in their shoes and he's wrestled and learned from his own mistakes. So we all make them, right? After earning an MBA, he became a strategic consultant to major oil and gas companies. And he's also an entrepreneur and found that his professional success did not always help him as a husband, father, and stepfather roles. Drawing from 3 decades of personal and professional experience, Mike shows men how to see their situation, embrace their emotions, and take the right actions to benefit everyone involved. Mike helps men feel less lonely and more connected and make better decisions and create a peaceful and loving environment with their own families. So thanks for joining me, Mike, and I look forward to talking more about this because it will enlighten me and with your insight here.
Now, I really appreciate that, Heather. It's something that's really been a labor of love for me as I've gone through my life and the things that have all happened to me and trying to figure out ways to share what I've learned with others, and really glad to be here.
Thank you so much. So I'm wondering, what are the main struggles that you believe men face in their lives and in their relationships? And how does this also pertain to their mental health and affect
sure.
that?
Yes, great questions all. I think that the things that I know that I see men struggle with and I've struggled with myself is as we move out of school and into our professional lives, married lives, et cetera, oftentimes there's a feeling of loneliness, right? So it's, mm-hmm. whatever reason, it's easier for men to make friends up and through the time they're in their high school, college years, et cetera. But for whatever reason, after that, it seems a bit more difficult. And it's very easy to lose touch with friends you had from the past. And so there's often a real feeling of loneliness there. And I've had the great pleasure of meeting and working with some great professional men in my career. But in some cases, it's easy to sort of let those friendships lapse, especially as job changes happen and promotions and moves, all the rest. And then, of course, what a lot of men do as they come into their 20s and 30s, they'll get married and they'll rightly focus their attention to their spouse. And that's great, too. So but in a sense, it's like oftentimes a man will wake up and think, gosh, where are all my buddy friends, what happened to those guys? And it can feel awkward to do it. Yeah. So that loneliness really affects their mental health in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, because we know loneliness can lead to depression and even, right. you know, not having these outlets like, you know, I bet a lot of lack of self-care goes along with that when you get into the mode men do of the work life and family life and then kind of letting go of that balance.
Yes. Yes. Men are often very competitive with one another, as we all understand. And it feels good. And as you enter your career and go through that to aim to improve yourself and succeed and focus on that. At the same time, you can let a lot of these personal and family connections lapse. And it's just not as good long term for you as it ought to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thanks for sharing about that. And I'm wondering, as far as divorce couples,
sure.
and, you know, as time goes on and, you know, you have the family situation, but, you know, things come up, Stuff happens, personal conflict, and sometimes all of us don't deal with that in such a great way, and it leads to divorce and broken relationships. And can you speak a little bit on, men going on that journey?
Sure. Yes, the moving into a marriage for a man is, as I mentioned earlier, a big change and generally a positive one. He gets the support that he needs. He gets a hopefully great confidant and friend to talk to. And if he's really fortunate, perhaps he has children and he has relationships with them and gets to maybe relive what worked well and correct what didn't work well when he was a boy, right? So as far as his parenting style, et cetera. So anyway, as you know, when a marriage comes to an end, a lot of that, of course, ends as well, and it's a big change for everyone. Often, a man's wife was his main confidant, his main primary connection with others, right? It's no secret to know that a lot of the friends that couples have are led by the women. The women get together. Oh, let's get our husbands together, and they go out for dinner, and it's nice. But again, the woman tends to lead a lot of that for reasons that I really don't quite understand, but it's the truth, right? So when a marriage ends, again, going back to that loneliness piece, it can be another element of the challenge for a man. So I guess what I would try to advise men in this area is to try to be intentional. Intentional means that you think not only about your actions, but what happens after that? What are you trying to achieve by doing X, Y, and Z, right? And think about what your goals are, right? If you're going through a challenging divorce, it can feel perhaps somewhat positive or satisfying to have your bloodthirsty attorney go after her bloodthirsty attorney and go into a large drawn-out family court battle. But the challenge is that if you're not intentionally thinking about what happens next, it can really cause problems. What happens next is that especially if you have children, you're going to be in a co-parenting relationship with this person for years, if not decades, and often that really affects the children negatively if that goes south. So again, if I were to counsel men in this area to be really thinking carefully about that, trying to think through what are the steps that are going to happen, what are the implications of all this, and try to figure out a way to have a long-term view, right? So take that long-term horizon as best you can and get support. Men get enough support through this whole process, and your attorney may be a great one, but he's not really, he or she's not really the person to give you the emotional support you need. And oftentimes they're not quite as tuned in to the long-term implications of some of the things that may come out of an ugly battle in the family court, right? And for men in particular, they need to be thinking about what's known as the grief cycle, right? And this that I know that I've gone through, and many men have gone through in many different parts of their lives. Your initial response is something like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going through a divorce. I'm in denial. I don't. This isn't happening, right?" And then get angry, and then maybe bargaining. Oh, if I did this, or you did this, or what have you, and then it kind of goes into depression, and then hopefully at some point you find a way to have acceptance and potentially hope for the future. So be aware of that grief cycle as you go back and forth through it. And unfortunately, it's not a one-way trip. You feel like you're going on the upside, and then mentally or whatever, you'll find yourself slipping backwards. So there's lots to think about when a man goes into a divorce situation and really needs to find ways to get the support he needs.
Yes, for sure. And that life event of a divorce, I know not only from my own experience, but also in counseling men and women, it takes such a huge emotional toll. But
It
also those losses that they're dealing with bring up even prior losses that kind of get triggered, I would say, from childhood.
does.
And
Yes.
then they're dealing with that. And then I believe that what happens too, and you can tell me what you think, Mike, but a lot of people don't take the time to deal with their emotional pain. And
Right.
then this pain is taken into the next relationship, or even the childhood issues that have come up and weren't resolved. And then the pattern ends up repeating itself again. And then there's a second marriage, but potentially a second divorce or a
Yeah.
third, because
Right.
this isn't dealt with from a preventative standpoint, and taking time to heal that pain. How important can you say that is? I know it's important.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I'm right there with you, Heather. I think that the key element that is there is really trying to understand where this is all coming from. I have a I coach men. I have a lot of respect and appreciation for those like you in the therapeutic community who can really try to help maybe look to the past and help try to figure out what's the underlying stories behind the pain that you're feeling and the stress you're going through. And like you say, if just because you're going through this divorce, if you don't learn anything from it, it's very likely that within months or very, very short period of time, you can find yourself in a very similar situation and wonder, hey, why is this happening again? So again, I have a lot of respect for those in the therapeutic community that can help folks understand what happened in the past and try to address these pain points that you're touching on. So for a lot of my work is trying to help men where they are now understand what's happening now based upon my experience and that of working with many other men. Okay, this is what's going to happen next. And then next, and then be thinking about the fact, okay, your kid is 9 years old now, and he's in elementary school. But once he starts getting into his early teens, and what's going to happen when he gets a car, and who's going to decide where he goes to college, and all these kind of things that are ahead of the man as he goes through this process, he needs to be aware of and thinking of those steps, not only the short-term situation that's going on now. So again, challenging things for a man to think about, especially in a very stressful moment like divorce, and it can be very painful and challenging.
And it's easy just to jump into the next relationship or find something that fixes that, quick fix, I would say, to not have to look at that a distraction, too.
A lot of times men can take one of three paths, and one is just to completely ball up and curl up in a ball and just sort of disappear, right? Another one is to throw themselves into work and the things. Oh, the only thing in my life that seems to be working well is that I work at a bank or a professional or whatever. I'll throw myself into that, right? And then the third option is to, as you suggest, jump into another relationship. And neither one of those three really gives the man enough of time and a moment to reflect on how he got here, what drove that, what can he learn, and how can he improve himself and try to figure out ways to be better and to learn, just like the skills that he's learned at the workplace to, I don't know, be a better banker, a better lawyer, a better politician, whatever it is. That didn't just come naturally. It took work. It took effort. He had to study. He had to learn from others, et cetera. But oftentimes, men, as you suggest, don't have these role models. They don't have lessons to understand. Well, gosh, why did my first marriage end? Well, okay, these are perhaps some reasons why. What should I be looking for in a new partner if I want to go that route? Well, here are some things that you might want to think about. So again, these are very important moments for a man, and it's a key opportunity for growth. It's not all negative, right? You can't. I love to learn new things, and I know other men love to as well. And I think these are the things that hopefully will bring some positivity to the process. That will hopefully motivate a man to move forward.
Yeah, and it can be a good time for personal growth.
Yes.
I know that you work with men who are professionals and successful professionals, and I've experienced in counseling having clients such as this too, but it's always so sad to me because they come to me and they are so successful and
Yes.
do a great job at work and with the relationships even at work. And then at home, it's like a train wreck with their wife or with their kids. And it's just like they have a hard time coping in that environment. And
Yeah.
then can you shed a little bit more light on that and, you know, what your thoughts are on that?
Sure. No, it's a great theme, Heather. I mean, I've had some great professional success in my life. I have an engineering and MBA degrees. My first job out of undergrad was as an investment banker. I've spent most of my career as a oil and gas consultant and developed some new businesses and had some great professional success. And it's really been a fun adventure for me. And I've learned a lot in that area. But you're right. A lot of these men that I work with, even though through brief sidebar conversations, you realize, wow, they've had some real challenges at home. They've done some things or had some things happen to them that they didn't understand. And so these are the elements that, again, as I said earlier, are learning opportunities, right? To try to figure out how to learn the skills that they need to be better, more present with themselves and also with their wives. If I think about a man in a marriage relationship, right? These are the what I would encourage men to do is just like they did at work, to develop new skills and new knowledge about how to be with their woman. The time and effort it takes to develop these new skills and learn these new things, just the benefits are just can be really, really fabulous, right? So if I were to coach a man in a marital relationship, I would say, listen, be intentional. Love your wife intentionally. Try to do things to her, to with her, to help her know that you love her, that she's beautiful, that you appreciate what she does at home, and what all that she does to support you and the family. So these are the things that a woman really, really needs to hear every day. I love you and you're beautiful. A woman will never get tired of hearing those words. So, and the cost to you is low, and hopefully you mean it. I mean, you did pick this woman and you are with her. And again, what I find is that when I tell my wife that I love her and that she's beautiful, for whatever strange reason, I believe it even more after I say it than I did before I said it, right? So it's kind of a virtuous cycle, right? So another thing that men really struggle with is what John Gray calls the cave. And what the cave is that women, John Gray says, women talk to process their feelings. Men go to the cave, and what the cave is watching sports, going out tinkering in the garage, going and playing another round of golf, surfing the web, doing things alone. And from the woman's perspective, it looks like he's not doing anything, and she's not, visually she's correct, but what a man is doing when he's chasing a golf ball around a golf course is there's a part of his mind that's trying to understand, trying to process, trying to figure out what's happening there. So the key element that a man needs to understand is, one, he's going into the cave. He's, oh, I'm going into the cave now. Just be aware of that. And it's a natural process that men do. But he must communicate one thing very, very crucially to the woman. He says, let's say, I'm going to do this and I'll be back. I'll be back. And I need to go tinker in the garage for an hour, and then we can talk about this. Or I'm going to go do this, and I'll be back in an hour. Because unfortunately, if a man just goes into the cave, the woman doesn't know what happened, right? And sometimes she will get confused, and she will try to follow him into the cave, and then that really doesn't do either one of them any good. So these are the things that part, some of the things that I would counsel men who are in a marriage that is, as you described, maybe a train wreck or not all they know it could be, right? And just to try to be intentional about what's happening, and try to think about the very specific things that are going on that could affect and potentially improve that marriage. One thing I'm a big fan of is the marriage map, which is laid out by Michelle Wiener Davis. You may have heard of it. She has these great five phases of marriage, and I love using these because they really resonate, right? The first phase is passion prevails. You know, you can't keep your hands off each other, and we all remember those days, and it's great. And this goes right into phase two, which is very, very succinctly stated as, what was I thinking? unfortunately, a lot of people get stuck there. And then the third phase of marriage is also a challenging one. It says, everything would be great if my partner changed. And this is, again, not where you want to be. I mean, it's a natural part of the process. If she would only do this or she would only do that, then everything would be great. Well, this is where you need to become a detective of your spouse and really try to understand what's going on with her. And ideally, you can get to stage four, which is something along the lines of, that's just the way my partner is.
And acceptance is like...
Exactly right. And then if you're really fortunate, and my wife Jana and I are there and many times, is stage five, together at last. You understand yourself, you understand your spouse, you understand a lot of why you react and do the things you do. You understand more perfectly why your spouse does and says the things that she does. And that's really where the moment can come together and really be satisfying. So if a man feels like he's in a struggling marriage, I would encourage him to think about this marriage map and determine where are we? Are we in phase three? Is it something that we need help with? Do we need coaching? Do we need therapy? These are the things that really can be helpful to a man and his wife in the situation.
Yeah, and taking the time to communicate about that and help each other become more aware and understand. And I think you made a good point about, you know, communicating to the woman when he goes into the cave, like, you know, so she doesn't have that insecurity, because I think that's what women get. I know I have in the past, the feeling of insecurity, like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And the open communication just really helps. And I think, and I know that's so key to relationships.
Yeah, you mentioned communication. This is an important area. For whatever reason, God made men and women very different in this area. Women are much better at talking than men are. They have a lot more neurons. They have a lot more capability in this area. And it's something that I imagine that women wonder, why isn't my husband understanding what I'm saying? Or why can't he talk as fast as I do? And why can't he process like I can? And it's a mystery to men as well. Sometimes I look at women talking and I go, wow, how are they doing all that so fast?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a key difference that exists between men and women. And, you know, I think that if a man can do what he can to, as I said earlier, tell her that she's beautiful, tell her that he loves her. These are simple words that are meaningful to him and to her, and that can help, you know, develop that relationship even further than it is now.
Yeah, no, it only takes a second of time to do that.
It does. And it goes to something that if you think about it again, if you're in the work world, you know about bank accounts, and the concept of the emotional bank account is something that I think men often can overlook, and they need to work on figuring out how to develop. Think about the emotional bank account you've developed with your spouse, right? You have committed to her. You've had some great times with her. You've had some ugly arguments with her. You've said some great things. You said some bad things. If you sort of look back at the ledger there, you've made some withdrawals and you made some deposits. Hopefully your balance is still positive. You don't want to have it overdrawn, that's for sure, right? So making those nice comments can are simple but sure additions to the emotional bank account. Other things that women love are physical closeness, snuggling, sharing food with her, just talking to her, carrying stuff for her, opening doors for her. These are things that really help develop that emotional bank account. And because there are so many times, unfortunately, a man will need to make a withdrawal. I can't believe you did this, or you bought something we don't need, or whatever it is, right? There'll be moments of dispute that are inevitable that you'll need to have a good bank account in advance before you can really have the conversation you may need to have with your wife going forward.
Yeah. Well, I love that. That's a great way to look at it. And, I think really helpful too, just to point that out. Sure. Now tell me more about being a stepdad. I know you and your wife work with people on this, step families and blended families, and how all of that can work together in a much more positive way. Can you help the listeners understand more about this and what y'all do and what is helpful?
I appreciate that, Heather. It's kind of a key element of our story. I was married before and had two great kids with my now former spouse. Divorced in 1998, and then Jaina and I married in 2001, and brought her two biological kids into the family. So there's four of us, four kids total, a six of us in the full family here. And so it's been an interesting ride for sure. Pretty soon after we got married, we had some challenges from outside of not between the two of us, but from outside the marriage, and really trying to figure out what's going on here. What's happening? Neither one of us knew we didn't want to be divorced again, right? We wanted to give this a try and work on this. And as you probably know, the best way to learn about something is to teach about something, right? Mm-hmm. So we ended up teaching some courses at our local church to help people be better single parents, better step parents, better blended families in general. And that was very helpful, and we really found that was kind of one of our gifts and one of the things that we really loved doing. So kind of went further from that and did more research, became the Step Family Association, Step Family Foundation coaches, gosh, maybe 2005 or so. And Jaina has gone much further. She's gone and gotten her counseling degrees and such. And she now has a very busy practice helping single parents, step families, blended families, all these kind of folks that are struggling in these areas. And we've done a lot of speaking and a lot of training of others and coaching of others over the years. And it's really been something that's been a real calling, a real passion for us. And we've learned a lot. We've made a ton of mistakes, and this is part of the thing that we've really tried to work on together. Our children were very young when we got married. Gosh, over 22 years ago now. They're all in their late 20s and early 30s now, and it's been great to watch them all grow and move into their lives, right? So I know that I felt like I've done a lot here, learned a lot, made a ton of mistakes, and I really don't want that knowledge to sort of fizzle away. I really want to find a way to help others, help other men in particular, figure out ways to be better husbands, better fathers, better friends. And that's kind of where I'm working on, the things I'm working on now.
Yeah, that service to others is so important in that way, because so many people have a hard time navigating that. And I've heard countless stories from, adults that as a child, they had a step parent that was, abusive or didn't handle the situation well, or came in and wanted to strong arm, everybody and make rules. And this can really have an impact on kids. And I'm wondering if you could share more about how you handled that situation and what do you think is a great approach that would be helpful instead of hurtful?
Sure. That's a great question. Forming a step family is very interesting, challenging moment in everyone's life. There's this great author and speaker, Ron Deal, who's done a lot of work in this area, has developed a couple books in this area. I have a lot of respect for Ron, and he uses what's the right metaphor for a blended family or a combined family like this? And of course, the one phrase is blended, right? So what's the metaphor? But you definitely don't want to use a blender to create a family, because that involves a lot of rotating steel blades, right? And so how do you create a step family? And the metaphor he likes to use is the crock pot, the slow cooker, right? And I think that's really a very accurate and wise one to think about, at least from my own experience. It takes a lot of time. You put these ingredients together in a home, and it takes time to develop these relationships, especially between the step parent and the step kids. So the main thing a man in the situation needs to understand is the kids didn't sign up for any of this, right? Mm-hmm. This was all thrust upon them. They had no say in any of this. They don't know exactly why mom and dad got divorced in the first place. And, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter, right? So the man needs to be patient in this regard and understand all of the issues that are going on, specifically related to what the therapist would call attachment, how attached are folks to one another, and also to understand the loyalty conflicts that are there, specifically in the man's case, between the biological dad and this new stepdad in their life, right? And understand from the very beginning how the child may be feeling about this new man in their life, and really kind of give the kid some grace and understanding, and give himself some grace as well to say, okay, this is more complicated than it is. You go on somebody's Facebook groups and some of these other guys are like, oh, I'm the dad now. Your dad is, don't worry about him anymore. Well, that's really a damaging message, and one that's really a bit, shall we say, too aggressive to come in with on. So it's really tough for a man to navigate this. So he really needs to be very, very careful.
Yeah, I would agree. And then the impact again on the kids that it can have long term, and even their mental health with this life event and this change, because I know kids want to be heard too, and they want to be able to have a voice in this situation. And a lot of kids are, I come from a generation where it's like, we really didn't have a voice a lot of times and what was going on. Right. And so I try to do a better job with my kids to allow them to speak up about how they feel about certain situations and, what their wants and needs are. And so, how can a man help in that situation with the kids to make it a more positive experience?
Well, he really needs to understand the elements of the relationships that are going on, right? Something that's been very helpful to me is something called the step family triangle, right? Again, this is something that I've studied a lot. I've used in my own life and the men that I help. If you think about the three people in an arrangement, the biological mom, the biological child, and then this new man who's now married to a biological mom, the stepdad, right? So if you think about the number of bonds between these three people, right? First, with a mom and biological child, there's a deep emotional bond there, right? The kid has known her his or her entire life. He's known her to be supportive and nurturing and all the kind of good stuff that moms are. There's also a strong legal bond there. She is responsible for him no matter what, for his care, his feeding, et cetera. And then, of course, there's that biological bond, right? The genetic bond. They have the same eyes or same color hair or whatever it is, right? This the sweet things that we carry on with our own offspring, right? So again, those three very strong bonds there between those two. And mm-hmm. and then you think about the bonds between the woman and the man, right? They have known each other probably a shorter time than the child has known the mom, for sure. And then also they so they have an emotional bond that's formed mm-hmm. relatively soon, and they have a legal bond. I'm married to you. We're bonded to one another, etc. All that legal piece. So can you consider that those legal bonds and emotional bonds are how strong they are relative to the others? But again, they're there, right? About the only thing that a man can develop, even in the best scenario, between himself and his wife's child, is that emotional bond. He won't have the genetic bond, and yes, there's a legal piece there, but it's not nearly as strong. So that emotional bond is really about all he can hope to think about. So if that's the case, the highest he can really aim to be is mm-hmm. a supportive friend, or maybe like an uncle or something. That's really about the highest level of relationship that he can develop. And he will be starting this from zero. That whatever friendship is going to evolve here is starting from a situation where you're just entering that child's life. Hello, I'm so and so. I'm going to be your stepdad. He's like, well, what is that? I have no idea. The guy doesn't either. So it's awkward. Jennifer Lopez runs something called the Step Family Foundation, calls it pre-step, almost like a pre-friend relationship, right? This moment is there, and it's a challenging one for everyone involved. So you've got to start building up that emotional bank account and fast. Mm-hmm. Right? So one thing that I have found helpful with my own with my wife's kids is just to try to be there, be as positive and influence as I can be a cheering squad, kind of like imagine a kid walking down in a parade and you're up in the balcony and waving, oh yeah, go, just be that balcony person for the mm-hmm. child, right? And just be as cheerful and positive as you can be. So that's a key thing that I would help men entering a step family to be thinking mm-hmm. about. How can I build up that emotional bank account? No, you're already way behind. That step family triangle we talked about, it's already very skewed mm-hmm. between mom and child. And you are the outsider there, and in many ways always will be.
Yeah, and it's possible to navigate through that, but it definitely does take time. And I think it's important to take that time to build those relationships too, because, you know, the kids need time to trust and to know that, you know, this person's going to be here. So otherwise, you know, I feel like we run into the situation where there's a lot of conflict or noise in the home. And the energy is just bad. It's uncomfortable. And nobody wants that in their home. So can you speak a little bit more about the environment, the home environment?
Yes. I think women are tend to be more attuned to the energy in a room than men are. Again, for whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure the biological reason behind it, but it just seems like a man oftentimes, I know I'm guilty of this too, can just kind of blunder into a room and not think too much and not realize he's got a grumpy expression on his face because he's worried about something that happened to work, nothing to do with the home. But then all the kids and his wife look at him and go, why is he mad? What's happening here? So again, I would really encourage men to be aware of their facial expressions, the energy they're throwing off, especially as they enter the home. Drive into the driveway from work, put your car in the garage or whatever. Just take a moment, breathe a couple of times, try to set aside whatever happened with the budget report or the client that didn't call you back or whatever it was. And then walk into the house as present as you can be. Right. And a big part of the energy I know that I've come across comes from the role of discipline. And it's a tough role for men to navigate, right? Because especially if a man has his own biological kids, he may have gotten used to, you know, addressing his own biological kids in a way that, again, leverages the emotional bonds that he has with them, right? He's known them since they were, so they know that he's really got their back, but know that dad really gets frustrated when they don't pick up their toys or whatever. Yeah. So they understand, well, here comes daddy, you know, want me to pick up my toys again. Okay, I'll do it. Right. Because that's leveraged off of years of experience of working with him and knowing him, et cetera. So when a man comes into a step family, and it's natural to see, okay, here's some very small human beings in my home, kind of like my own children. I can boss them around the same way I do my own kids. Well, that's a big error, right? And so that's something that men need to be very intentional about, thinking about that, and having some really, shall we say, challenging conversations with his wife on before too much time happens, because a man can really make some serious withdrawals and get overdrawn on his bank account with his stepkids by chiming in with his wife. You know, you need to pick up your kid, your toys, or don't smart mouth back to your mom, or whatever it is. That can really make things ugly and painful for the child. And again, the kid didn't sign up for any of this. You know, it's a very natural thing. If you were a friend observer standing in the room when this happened, and you would probably say to the guy later, hey, listen, that really wasn't, you know, the way I read the kid's expression was, you don't have the right to tell them to how to fold their socks and put them in their drawer. You know, you've only been in this kid's life a year. So, you know, you need to keep that in mind. So that whole discipline thing, it can really make the energy in a home much more tense and negative.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out too, that, you know, kids want to feel respected too. And, you know, they need to be, and it's a mutual respect, and that building that relationship just takes time. But the disciplining in the wrong way, like you were speaking about, it just causes a lot of hurt and resentment, and then it starts infiltrating to everybody in the home, and it just can cause a really bad environment.
It really can. I mean, I think that the things that I try to coach men on is that when you come in grumpy, when you have a scowl on your face, again, it may not be anything regarding anything at the home. You may be completely happy with things that are happening at home. But if you walk around with that demeanor, if you're a grump, well, you're giving off messages that you probably don't even realize you're doing. So I like to think about, you know, if you think about a kid, they have perfect vision, but are profoundly deaf. Right. You can tell them so many things and they'll just sort of go right through them. But they really are very observant, and because it's a survival mechanism for them. They have this new person in the home. They don't know you, and they know mom, and they love their mom, but they're trying to figure you out. They're trying to understand you. And that's something that will go on for years. They will always be trying to understand, figure you out. So it's something that you want to try to focus on and really understand from the kid's point of view, that again, they are trying to figure you out and understand you. And it's, use it as a way, think of it as a compliment. They really are trying to figure you out. And how they can connect.
Yeah. We can always change the perspective on how we look at things and look at it in a more positive light. So, yes. This has been really enlightening for me, just to hear, you know, that men really do suffer in silence in a lot of areas in their life, and with the loneliness and isolation and, you know, not getting the self-care that they need. Can you help the listeners to understand what we could do to help men feel more supported?
Right. Well, women are can do so much for men, and men love women. Men respect and cherish women. I really have nothing but the greatest love and affection for my wife, and I'll do anything for her. And part of the reason why is because, you know, she's really been very supportive of me. She says nice things to me. She's encouraging to me. She really appreciates what I do around the home and what I do at the office and all the other kind of things. And she also encourages me to express my feelings. As I mentioned earlier, men are so much worse at this for reasons that have nothing to do with us. It's not that we're oafs or clumsy or what have you. We may be in some areas, but for whatever reason, women are they have many more neurons or whatever it is that allow them to talk and process and be more sensory in these areas and expressing their feelings. So if women could just be patient with men in this area, that would be a lot. I mean, it would really help things out so much. And so these are the things that women can do to support their men. Going back to the discipline, especially in a step family role, I know in some cases, a woman will actually want a man to be the disciplinarian for her children. And that's a really tough situation for the man to put himself in, and almost impossible one for him to succeed where he can succeed. Right. So for the reason I said earlier, he's new in their life. He doesn't he doesn't have the bonds with these kids. And so if a woman is married to a man and she's got biological kids that aren't his, she needs to understand that as well and really try to be as think about her own activities, her own actions, and try to get the man to play less of the disciplinarian role, because that really is not going to help him or her kids in the long run, right? So what's best for her kids is for her to understand where is this where is the discipline coming from? How can she improve her own ability to do so? The ideal way for a man to discipline his stepkids, if he has to at all, is only in extreme moments. The kid's about to run out to the street, grab her by the hand, and pull her.
Danger. Yeah.
Exactly right. A man, the stepdad, can be a monitor for the kids. He observes that his wife's told her biological kid, clean your room or pick up the toys or whatever, and then she leaves, and then 2 hours later, it still hasn't happened. And the man has choices here. He can say, okay, kid, your mom told you to clean up your room, which again is probably not going to work. Or he can make a sarcastic comment. Oh, you got here. You are not cleaning up your room again, or something like that. Again, that doesn't help either. Probably right. about as most he can do in this situation is to call his wife, text his wife, say, hey, listen, just want to let you know, Susie hasn't picked up her room yet. Let me know what you want me to do. And hopefully the man and the woman will then be able to talk about this privately, about the best things to do and how it would help him the most if she would not put him in a situation where he has to be the disciplinarian. Make those as rare as possible. Just have him be a monitor. And
realize that they're even doing that, and that's a lot of pressure, I believe, too.
Yeah. It is, and as I said earlier, if a woman can think about the amount of bonds that she has with the kid, Ron has this funny slide where he shows where the man, the stepdad, and the mom have just been told by the mom's biological kid that the 14-year-old kid that. Oh, I hate you both, blah, blah, blah. The typical stuff that 14-year-old kids say. And he has two slides. One, a picture of what the man sees, and he sees this snarling kid. And then the picture of what the woman sees. And the woman sees the baby picture of the kid. Right. So, the mom has a natural instinct to think, okay, well, yes, my kid's smart mouthing off again, but I have this 14 years of sweet memories. The stepdad doesn't have those, right? And he may have flipped through a few pictures, but he didn't live it, right? So all he sees is a snarling kid. You know, if some random kid, 14-year-old kid, walked up to his wife and starts smart mouthing, he wouldn't have any hesitation to say, no, excuse me, we don't say that, you know. Right. There wouldn't be any hesitation on his part. If someone knocked on his front door and told his wife that she was blankety blank, he would take action, and it would be instinctual protective mode. But again, it's tough if the woman is, since asking the man to say that to his child, it really doesn't help anyone in that situation.
Yeah. And it's important to remember in these relationships, just showing compassion for each other and remembering that, you know, this is a life event and a lot of change and, you know, a lot of different personalities being put together to work out navigating, you know, a whole new chapter in their lives.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It's tough, but it's tough, but it's doable for sure.
It is doable. And I know that a lot of people need that encouragement too, that it's possible and it can be great. It doesn't have to be a negative situation.
Absolutely.
So this has all been such valuable information. And so I know it's going to be so helpful to others, Mike, and I appreciate you sharing your wealth of knowledge. And I just want to know, what is your fix today? What do you get enjoyment out of?
Well, I really appreciate our time as well, Heather, and I thank you and honor you for the work that you're doing. You know, for me, it's the fix is focusing on being intentional about improving myself, being intentional about learning new things, right? So I've always loved to learn new things. I mean, I know how to weld, right? I know how to build things. I know how to make things. I know how to do all kinds of things. You know, recently, my wife and I started just doing some fun stuff in the kitchen where we're doing a lot of cooking. I found that I really kind of got into these really super sharp knives. I'm really having fun cutting things up with knives and such. So food and such. And then another fun thing that I've done, again, I've always wanted to do this. How can I figure out how to sew embroidered patches on shirts and stuff? So I bought a little embroidery sewing thing. I now know how to sew. I mean, I'm not terribly good at it, but again, learning new things, trying new things out, that's what always gets me energized. And I think that as men and women, but especially as men, we have all these capabilities, these things that we picked up maybe when we were kids or what have you. I would just encourage men to try new things and to learn new things and to try to improve on themselves, right? And the final thing that I have also learned about myself, and I try to tell that to other men, is a concept I use called energy begets energy, right? Mm-hmm. The more energy, the more thing, effort I put into something, the more I learn, and then that makes me excited about doing something else and learning even more things. So I would just encourage men to get off the couch, stop whining to themselves or what have you, and then try to figure out a way to express and to use some of the things, the talents that they have inside them, and learn new things and use it as a way to learn about themselves, to form better relationships with others, and really just to be the fullest and best version of themselves they can be.
Yeah, it provides so much more engagement in life and also just leads to a more meaningful life to, you know, have fun with that curiosity and learning more.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for all of your knowledge and how you serve men and help them in their relationships and also allow them to learn more about self-love, which I believe is so important, and how to have meaningful relationships with everyone around them, because it just overall leads to a great life for everybody.
I really try to be encouraging to everyone around me, especially men. So that's why I try to really find a way to encourage others. And I've been encouraged in my life, and I really want to try to have men have all the courage they can have and be better men and better versions.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on Fixing the Fix podcast. Be sure to visit our website, fixingthefix.com, where you can follow the podcast on Apple or your favorite podcast platform, so you'll never miss a show. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And remember, to take care of yourself and don't lose hope. We are here to help you fix your fix.